things, and we see people of God, him slowing down a bit at the end as Jesus was soon to be crucified. So we are going to be continuing in the gospel writings of Mark, and we are going to look on what Mark says about Jesus. He wrote to the Romans, and the Romans just want to know and to hear what's going on. So we see he presented the gospel writings in such a way that they understood that this was about Jesus. So we as God's people must understand that Mark wrote in such a way that we can understand more about Jesus Christ and his transforming power. So we are going to continue from verse 11 where we left off, and then we are going to pray and start the session for this week. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love which never fail. We thank you for this privilege, O God Almighty, to bring forth your word to your people. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you'll continue to illuminate your word to us. O God, let your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Father God, we pray that you will touch our hearts and bring forth transformation. Only you can change us, O God. Only you can draw weary sinners to you. For your word tells us, O God Almighty, that no one can come to you except, O God Almighty, the Spirit draws him. So we pray right now, O God Almighty, Holy Spirit, that you will do some drawing. There are so many souls out there who need to be saved. Father God, we pray that you will come and do the work among us that only you can do. Have your own sweet way in us, O God, and let your will be done and your name be glorified. So, Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we praise you, and we look to you by faith, O God. Continue to lead and guide, Holy Ghost, and let your perfect will be done. As we look to you and give thanks, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The word tells us in verse 11 of Mark 1, then a voice came from heaven, said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see the Father affirming the Son, people of God, and we see Jesus Christ, the beloved Son, the darling of heaven. He was well pleasing to the Father. We are called to be like him. So we are called to conform to his image. So to be bearing his character, that the world will come to know him. The world is looking for Jesus, but they need to see him in us. And this can only be done by the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is calling us, people of God, to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, to surrender all to him, to yield ourselves completely to him. And that's the only way we can be conformed to the image of Jesus, when we are yielded to the Spirit, when we are conformed to the Holy Spirit of God. So let us live our lives each day completely surrendered, completely yielded to the Spirit. Look on verse 12 of Mark 1. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Just after his baptism in the Jordan, just after Jesus' baptism, John baptized him, just after Jesus' baptism, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. He was completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. People of God, we have to understand, he was completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we see he had to obey completely. The Spirit was on him without limits. That's something that we have to understand. The Spirit was on him without limits. The Spirit led him into a wilderness experience. We must understand he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. So John 3:34 tells us, for he whom God has sent does not have the Spirit by measure. So there is no limit of the Spirit in him, people of God. The Spirit came upon him when he was baptized, and the Spirit came like a dove and rested upon him. So the Spirit was on him without limit. And we see, people of God, he had to obey completely. He was completely controlled by the Spirit. So when we are controlled by the Spirit, we obey. So we see, people of God, Jesus' will, he was always speaking about doing the will of the Father. He was always concerned about doing the Father's will. So people of God, only when we are Spirit-led, then we will be in a position to completely obey God. So we must be Spirit-led. So Jesus gave us a perfect example. The perfect God-man was completely Spirit-led. So we see the Spirit was on him without measure, without limit. And he was there in the wilderness, the word of God tells us in verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. So people of God, look in one verse, John say all of these things. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angel ministered to him. So we see, people of God, Mark writing his gospel writings was just telling us what happened to Jesus. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil and was with the wild beast, and angels ministered to him. So we see the gospel writing, he just get to the point. He didn't go around in any long detail. We have to understand that about Mark. He didn't go around in any long detail about what happened, when, and where. But he just tell us Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He was tempted by the devil, and he was with the wild beast in the wilderness, and the angel ministered to him. So we see in other gospel writings, we're going to look and see, but we see Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by the devil. He had to contend with the wild beasts of the wilderness. So only Mark spoke about the wild beasts in the wilderness. So he had to contend. Can you imagine going in the wilderness and all those wild beasts out there, but they couldn't touch him because he's God. So we see he had to contend with the wild beasts of the wilderness. Angels came and ministered to him. So we see even the Son of God at times needed the ministering of angels. So we see angels came and ministered to him. So we also, people of God, must understand that we need the ministering spirit of the angels to come to us and rescue us sometimes. So as we call upon the Lord, he will send his angels to rescue us. So we see here, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. He is our great high priest, tempted like we are, yet he couldn't sin. He's God. So Mark mentioned the temptations of Jesus, but we see, people of God, in Matthew's gospel writing that he states the type of temptation that Jesus undergo. This temptation is not new. So we see this was the same temptation that Adam and Eve went through in Genesis 3. So we see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is nothing new. But Jesus overcame the enemy. The first Adam did not overcome the enemy. He disobeyed God. But we see Jesus Christ, the last Adam, he came and he overcame the enemy. We see, people of God, we have to understand. And let us look in Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 6. The word tells us in Genesis 3, verse 6. So the word said, so when the woman saw the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, that it was pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it, the lust of the flesh. She see the tree desirable to make one wise, the pride of life, people of God. And a tree, and She took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So we see this was no new temptation, people of God. This happened with the first Adam, where he was tempted. And we see, people of God, where they succumbed to the temptation of the devil. They listened to the voice of the devil and did what he did. But Jesus listened to the voice of God and God alone. Look at the difference. So we are going to look a little at Matthew 4. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. And we are going to see where Christ was victorious over the enemy who came to tempt him. So we see all of this testing and tempting was going on. And we see Matthew made it so clear here what exactly happened. So Mark wrote, Mark told us he was in the wilderness 40 days. He was tempted by the devil and was with the wild beasts, and the angel ministered to him. But Matthew is telling us clearly what took place. So look on Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Let us look on Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, people of God, afterward he was hungry. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. After that, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So, people of God, his identity was always intact. So it's very important that our identities are intact, that we know who we are in Christ. The devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God." So if Jesus didn't know who he was, he would succumb, people of God, to the temptation of the enemy. But Jesus knew who he is. And the word said, the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus responded, people of God, just as how we ought to respond. Jesus said, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. So we see, people of God, Jesus spoke with the assurance of the scripture. And we must speak, people of God, and say, "This is what my Father says. This is what is written." But we sometimes succumb to the pressure of the enemy, because we are not sure who we are. We must know who we are in Christ Jesus and speak just as he speaks. Remember Jesus giving us perfect example right here. When we are tempted to gratify the flesh, we must say without a doubt, "It is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The devil didn't stop there, people of God. Look on verse 5. "Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And we see, people of God, the devil using God's word, twisting God's word and saying, "Man, if you jump down off this pinnacle, you're going to be one who will show the world that you are the Messiah, and that you and that the angels will come and bear you up. You will not hurt yourself, Jesus." So we see that how the enemy tempts us. Oh, look at what Jesus said in verse 7. Jesus said to him, "It is written again." So I said it before, but I'm going to say it again. "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Don't test God. So we must understand that we must not tempt the Lord our God. We must not fall in the same trap like the enemy tried to ensnare Jesus into a trap of showing off, jumping off that temple and showing that he was the Son of God. But Jesus said, "Don't tempt God. Don't test God. And Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you. Then Jesus said to him, away with you. Away with you, Satan, for it is written. So Jesus spoke again, it is written. So you see the importance of us knowing the word of God and know that it is written. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So Jesus was quoting from Deuteronomy 10:20. Jesus knew the scriptures, and we also must know the scriptures that we can have the right scripture to use against the evil one when he comes against us. So we see here, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. And we said that we find that in Deuteronomy 10:20. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The devil left him, and behold, the angels, they came and ministered to him. So we see here, Mark said, he was there in the wilderness 40 days. Mark didn't tell exactly what happened. But we see people of God, the other gospel writer, told us, Matthew tell us, and also Luke tell us about what happened with Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. But Mark got to the point. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. So it's very important that we understand that the wild beasts were there as well. And the angels came and ministered to him. So we have to understand that he was tempted in these points, just like the first Adam was tempted. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So we have to understand that these are no new temptations. So we understand that this is how people of God, the world tempts us as well. So we are not of the world, and we do not love the world. For God said, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So we as God's children must not love the world and the world system. Oh, we have to understand that the world system is all about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We become our own God. We do as we please. We don't give account to anyone. For we have to understand that Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we are accountable to him. So we cannot live like the world, and we cannot allow the world system to dictate to us, to tell us how to live. So we have to understand, people of God, we are called to walk as victors, because Christ himself is victorious. So we are more than victors through him. Look at Mark 1 verse 14. Mark 1 verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So we see the fast pace that Mark is going, people of God. We see Mark started off with John the forerunner, and now Jesus came and he was driven by the Spirit. The word of God says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And we see after Jesus came back out victorious, now we hear that John was in prison. The word said, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So we see John the Baptist, forerunner of Jesus, was put in prison for telling the truth about Herod. We see Jesus continues his preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. People of God, Jesus could be there grieving over the forerunner. But Jesus chose to continue the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus was not distracted about his mission, people of God. We are called not to be distracted. He was always preaching and teaching. Wherever he goes, the king was here. So the kingdom of God has come. Jesus came to rule in the hearts of men. So wherever Jesus is, people of God, reigning, the kingdom has come. Wherever Jesus is reigning, the kingdom has come. So we must allow Jesus to reign in our hearts. Let us open our hearts and receive the King of Kings. He wants to reign in our hearts, people of God. He wants the kingdom to come in us. The kingdom is in us. So Jesus wants to be manifested in our lives daily, but we must allow him to take control of our lives completely. So we must understand, people of God, as children of God, we will be persecuted for the truth. So we see John the Baptist was persecuted for the truth. He was placed in prison. And we see later on, as we read the word, that he was beheaded, people of God, by Herod the king. So we will be persecuted for the truth. But let us stand firmly on the truth, not wavering in our faith in Jesus Christ. We see the word tells us in 2 Timothy 3:12, the New King James Version states that those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But I love the King James Version. It says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. People of God, look out for persecution. If you are not yet persecuted, it's coming. We who decide to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we as God's people, when persecution come, we shouldn't be surprised. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as if some strange things happen to you. If you are living godly, if you are walking uprightly, walking according to the will of God, you will be persecuted. So we have to understand the truth of God's word, people of God. And no, John the Baptist was a godly man. He was an upright man. He was persecuted, put in prison, and then beheaded. People of God, for the truth. Because we see John spoke the truth about Herod. He has taken his brother's wife. And we see, people of God, no one who wants to hear the truth. The only time we want to hear the truth is when we truly want to change. And when we hear the truth, we will change because we want to change. But if you don't want to change, you don't want to hear the truth. So we have to understand that, people of God. So we as God's people are called to continue to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ wherever we go, knowing that we will be persecuted. Persecution will come. But in all of this, remember, people of God, God promised in his words that he will sustain us and he will not allow us to be moved. So we have to stand for the truth and knowing that God will vindicate us. Look at verse 15 of Mark 1. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So Jesus continued to preach. John in prison, Jesus preaching the good news of the kingdom. Jesus spoke saying, the time has come and the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom has come. It's right here. Jesus is calling on all humanity to repent. Repentance means a change of mind. We have to change our mindset, our thinking, and go according to the will of God. So we change from our old sinful way and we turn to God's way. So we need to commit to the good news of Jesus Christ. Commit to Jesus, understanding and knowing that he is the Savior of the world. He is our strong deliverer. He is the only one who can rescue us. For his word tells us he came to seek and save he who was lost. So he came for the lost, people of God. So we have to understand why Jesus came. He came on a mission, people of God. His first coming was to seek and to save he who is lost. But we see, people of God, he's coming back. He's coming back to judge the world, to judge who has not put their trust in him. So we as God's people must know and understand that while we are living in this fallen earth, that we will be persecuted if we live godly for Christ Jesus. This world system is against Christ. This world system hates Christ. So just as how this world system hates Christ, This world system also hates his followers. So when we decide to follow Christ and walk in his ways, we are going to be persecuted. Look at verse 16. The word tells us in Mark 1. Let us continue on this journey with Mark. For he's moving fast, people of God. So we also have to move fast and understand that the time is now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He came first, people of God, as a savior. He's coming back to judge. So we do not want him to say, depart from me, I know you not. But we want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we are going to understand and know that Christ is calling us up higher. He's calling us to the place of understanding and knowing that we, as God's people, have a mandate to go with the good news of Jesus Christ. Repent. Repent and be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. So we have to know that each and every one of us has to go with that good news as Christ has sent us to go with the message of salvation to those. Just as how he preached the message and taught the message, we also are called to go and to represent him here on earth. God bless you here this evening. We're going to stop at verse 15 and then start verse 16 next week, God's willing. God bless you. Let us continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us continue to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, wherever we go. God bless you here. We are going to end here the session right now and go on and pray and close. God bless you. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you that you're calling us to be like Jesus. Help us, oh God, not to be distracted, oh God, in this time, but to keep our focus on you, oh God. Help us to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to walk in his ways. Father God, we just thank you, oh God, that you're calling us to be true ambassadors of you. Help us, oh God, to represent you well and to do your perfect will. Father, we bless you, we honor and give you glory. As we pray and give thanks, we pray in Jesus' precious name, and we say amen and amen. Amen. God bless you here. Continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings. Amen. In the Lord is
love, reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp. Is weak and